Good morning, saints, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good to see you, and it's very good to be here with you this morning to worship the Lord our God. Before we begin our service of worship, we do have a few announcements that we would like to make. I'd like to remind you of our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And also the ladies' Bible study meets on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month from 10 until noon. And also, I'd like to remind you of our church picnic, which is scheduled for Saturday, April the 24th, beginning around 10 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. That's going to be at Pfluger Park. That's Saturday, April the 24th, and there is a sign-up sheet for this out in the narthex of the church. We encourage you to come if you can and sign up if you're planning to come. That way we can know how much food to prepare. And with regard to prayer, we ask that you would please keep in your prayers today and throughout this week the various prayer requests that you see on the insert in your bulletins. This week, our family of the week is Jim and Pat Huggins, so pray for them. Also, as you may recall, we have been praying for Mariah Engelbrecht's grandmother. She passed away last week on Wednesday, so please pray for her family, particularly for Mariah's father. And I'd also like to ask if you will add to the prayer list Gail Beck. This is a friend of Cecilia Marino's. She has COVID and is not doing well at all. She's in the hospital on a ventilator. Her name is Gail Beck. And also, please continue your prayers for Reverend Danny Ollinger. Danny is the General Secretary of the OPC's Committee on Christian Education. He, too, has COVID, and he's been in the hospital now for over 3 weeks. He's doing a lot better now. I heard from him this morning. He's doing much better. So please continue your prayers for him. I think, friends of God, that concludes our announcements for today. We have gathered here this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship the only true God. And as we listen to the prelude now, let us prepare our hearts to come before him in worship. Saints of Providence Presbyterian Church, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand as we hear God's call to worship this morning from Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. Let's sing together at this time the doxology. We praise you, O Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for you are great and greatly to be praised, and you are to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but you, O Lord, made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before you, strength and beauty are in your sanctuary. Father, we pray for your Spirit this morning that we may ascribe to you glory and strength, the glory due your name, and worship you in the splendor of holiness. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Let's sing together now hymn 230, Holy, 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 hymn 230. good. And please turn with me now in your hymnals to Roman numeral 16 for the reading of God's holy law, Roman numeral 16, after which we will confess our sins to the Lord our God and seek his mercy and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Well, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us now confess our sins unto the Lord as we pray in unison the prayer of confession that you will find on the insert in your bulletins. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we have broken your holy laws by our deeds and words and by the sinful affections of our hearts. We confess before you our disobedience and ingratitude, our pride and willfulness, and all our failures and shortcomings toward you and our neighbor. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. And of your great goodness, grant that we may hereafter serve and please you in newness of life in union with Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Well, beloved, our God is merciful and gracious, and he forgives us of all our transgressions for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And he grants us in the Holy Scriptures assurance of forgiveness, as we see in the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. To all those who have sincerely confessed their sins to the Lord our God and put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that your sins are forgiven. Amen. Let's sing together now hymn 275, Arise My Soul, Arise, hymn 275. And please stand as we sing. Seated. Let me invite you to turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. And this morning we will continue our study of Revelation by looking once again at chapter 1. And I want to read verses 9 through 20 of Revelation, chapter 1. So, chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Before we hear God's word, let's pray together once again. Abba, Father, with confidence we draw nigh now to your throne of grace through Jesus Christ, our faithful High Priest, who ever lives above and makes intercession for us without ceasing, and who is able therefore to save us to the uttermost as we draw near to you through him. Father, we pray this morning as the Holy Scriptures are read and proclaimed that by your Spirit you would bring understanding to our minds and open our hearts to receive in faith and in love these sacred words, which are able to save our souls. Enable us, we pray, O God, to be doers of your word and not hearers only. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 and beginning in verse 9. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held 7 stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the 7 stars that you saw in my right hand and the 7 golden lampstands, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. This is the word of God. Now, this morning, I want to explain the symbolic meaning of this vision. And first of all, it should be obvious that the vision was not meant to be interpreted literally, but symbolically. In fact, Christ himself reveals the symbolic meaning of 2 items in the vision, the 7 lampstands and the 7 stars. In verse 20, Jesus says, "As for the mystery of the 7 stars that you saw in my right hand and the 7 golden lampstands, the 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches, and the 7 lampstands are the 7 churches. And so the stars and the lampstands are not literally stars and lampstands. They are symbolic images of something else. And Christ reveals their inner meaning, their hidden meaning. He reveals, verse 20, the mystery of the 7 stars and the 7 lampstands. And the word mystery used here in verse 20 means hidden or symbolic meaning. And so the vision of our Lord Jesus Christ here in Revelation chapter 1 is a mystery. It is a mystery that should be interpreted symbolically and not literally. Now let's look at the vision again and see if we can make sense of this mystery. In the midst of the 7 golden lampstands, John saw, verse 13, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The one like a son of man is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, throughout the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus frequently called himself the Son of Man. Now, Christ did not identify himself that way simply to emphasize his humanity, which hardly needed to be emphasized because everyone who saw him could tell that he was human. Rather, by calling himself the Son of Man, Christ identified himself with the figure who was revealed in a vision to the prophet Daniel, which Daniel recorded in his book, chapter 7. Daniel said in chapter 7, verse 13, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him." And so by calling himself the Son of Man, Jesus identified himself with that figure in Daniel's vision. Jesus is the one who ascended on the clouds of heaven and was presented before the Ancient of Days and received from the Ancient of Days a universal and everlasting kingdom. Now, John the Apostle saw the same Son of Man figure standing in the midst of the golden lampstands. And he was dressed like a high priest. He was vested in high priestly garments. He was wearing a long robe that reached all the way down to his feet and a golden sash around his chest. And he was surrounded by the golden lampstands. Christ, our Lord, is portrayed here as a high priest, as the supreme and ultimate high priest of the heavenly temple. And he is tending the golden lampstands. He's watching after, maintaining, caring for the golden lampstands of the heavenly sanctuary. In the Old Testament, the priest would enter the sanctuary to tend the menorah, the golden lampstand. He would replace the wicks and refill the lamps with fresh oil and keep them burning continually so that their light never, ever went out. And that's what Christ is doing here in this vision. He's tending the golden lampstands of the heavenly temple. And those lampstands, as we are told in verse 20, symbolize the seven churches, which, as we've already noted in a previous sermon, represent the whole church, the whole universal church throughout the entire church age. Now, I think that tells us something very important about the present ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, what Christ is presently doing in the heavenly sanctuary. As the high priest of heaven, Christ is presently tending. He is watching after, he's maintaining, he's caring for his church, and every particular congregation which belongs to his universal church, including the seven churches in Asia Minor. Now, in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation, Christ has a specific message for each of those seven churches. And the letter of Revelation as a whole is a message to each of those churches. Christ, the high priest, tends the golden lampstand. He tends the golden lampstands by warning them, correcting them, commending them, exhorting them, and so on. And the purpose of that high priestly activity of Christ is to keep their lights burning. That's what he's doing. He's keeping their lights burning. If their light goes out, their lampstand will be removed. For example, Jesus says to the church in Ephesus, and this is in chapter 2, verse 8 of Revelation, "Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." And so the mystery, that is, the symbolical meaning of the vision is this: Christ, the high priest, tends the golden lampstands of the heavenly sanctuary in order to keep them burning. And he does that by warning and correcting and exhorting his churches to patiently endure the tribulation and to overcome the evil one by their faithful witness to Christ, by being faithful witnesses to Christ, martyrs. The role of the church, as we've noted previously, is to bear witness to Christ. Martyria is the word that's used in Revelation, from which we get the English word martyr. That's the role of the church. The role of the church is to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the light of our lampstand is that witness to Christ. Now, if we want to be faithful witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to hear and obey the words of this prophecy. And by so doing, our light will shine brightly in the darkness. Now, John goes on to tell us that this Son of Man figure manifested divine attributes and heavenly glory. John says in verse 14, "The hairs of his head were white like pure wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire." And then verse 15, "His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters." Now remember, these images are symbols. They are mysteries. They're symbols. They do not give us a photographic depiction of what Christ looks like, but rather they symbolically reveal what he is like. They symbolically reveal his divine glory, his attributes, and his activities. His snow-white hair reveals his divine wisdom and dignity and honor. His eyes, like a flame of fire, reveal his divine knowledge and insight and his role as the judge. He's the final judge. He's the ultimate judge of all humanity. And with his divine knowledge and insight, he searches our minds and hearts and discerns our spiritual condition, which results in either blessing or judgment. His feet, John tells us in verse 15, were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace, because he patiently endured tribulation, and by so doing, he conquered the evil one. His faithfulness was tested by fire in the furnace of affliction. in the furnace of tribulation, and he endured that test, and thus he conquered and sat down with his Father on his throne. Now John continues in verse 16, in his right hand he held seven stars, from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. His face, the face of our Lord Jesus, radiated with the glory of God, just like the face of Moses. When Moses ascended Mount Sinai and when he came down from the mountain, his face shone with the brightness of the glory of God. Jesus, the Son of Man, has ascended God's holy mountain. He has ascended God's heavenly mountain and has been fully transfigured and glorified by the Holy Spirit of God. And so his face was shining like the sun in all of its power and full strength. The sword coming from his mouth is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, Hebrews 4:12 says. Christ here is depicted as the judge, as the final judge, the ultimate judge, who will strike down his enemies with the sword of his mouth. The sword is his word of judgment, which he will ultimately pronounce on all humanity at the end of the age when he appears at his second coming. Now that becomes clear in another vision at the end of the apocalypse recorded in Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19:11 says, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's no wonder that when the Apostle John saw Jesus portrayed that way, that he fell at his feet as though dead. John was terrified. He was absolutely terrified at this vision. That's why Christ said to him, "Fear not." He was afraid. And John also tells us that in his right hand, which in Scripture symbolizes authority and power, it symbolizes God's sovereign control, in his right hand he held seven stars. Now the seven stars, Jesus himself tells us in verse 20, are the angels of the seven churches. The mystery of the seven stars is this: they are the angels of the seven churches. Now there are different interpretations of what that actually means. Some think that the word angel here simply means messenger. And there are places in the Bible where the word angel, angelos in Greek, actually does mean messenger. And some think that that's what the word means here, and therefore the seven angels or seven messengers, some believe, are human figures, specifically those who are responsible for delivering the message of Christ to each of the seven churches. Now, some interpreters even want to identify these seven angels as the pastors of the seven churches. So the seven angels are seven pastors. Now, I personally find that interpretation quite hard to believe because I've known too many pastors in my life, including myself, and there's nothing at all angelic about them, let me assure you. Whenever the word angel is used in the book of Revelation, in the Apocalypse, and the word angelos, angel, is used over 60 times in the book of Revelation, it always, without exception, always refers to heavenly beings and never refers to earthly beings. These are not earthly creatures. These are heavenly creatures, heavenly beings. And so the seven angels are seven angels. They are seven actual angels. The seven stars, the stars are symbolic of something else. The seven stars symbolize the seven angels. the angels are the literal reference of the stars. They're not symbolic of something else. This is the literal meaning of the stars. So the seven stars are seven actual heavenly beings. They're seven angels. And each of the seven churches, therefore, has an angel assigned to it. Now, you got to understand that in order to understand chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation and to understand the rest of Revelation. Each of the seven churches in Asia Minor has an angel assigned to it. And the angel is responsible for that church. The angel is responsible for looking after that church. And in the heavenly council, and by that I'm talking about God's heavenly courtroom, his heavenly temple palace, where he is enthroned above all and surrounded by all of his heavenly hosts, the heavenly council. In the heavenly council, the angel represents the church to which it is assigned. So each of the seven churches has an angel assigned to it, and in the heavenly council, that angel represents the church to which it's assigned. And so, when Christ addresses the angel to the church in Ephesus, he is addressing the church of Ephesus because he represents the church of Ephesus. The angel represents the church of Ephesus. Did the angel in the church of Ephesus write? And then he gives a message to the church in Ephesus. And so the angel is the representative. It's the heavenly representative of the church. The seven angels are the heavenly counterparts, we might say, of the seven churches. The heavenly counterparts, the heavenly representatives in the heavenly council of the seven churches. And every church throughout the history of the church has an angel assigned to it. Every church without exception. Now, this should not be really shocking to us if we're familiar with Scripture, because Scripture talks about this sort of thing frequently. Scripture even teaches us that nations have angels assigned to them, and in fact, individuals have angels assigned to them. The only Christians in our day who find that hard to believe are those who want to demythologize Scripture. Those who are so influenced by rationalism that they have to somehow demythologize what is written there and interpret it some other way than what is intended. So each church throughout the history of the church age has an angel that is assigned to it, which represents it in the heavenly council. Now, we're going to find out more about the role of these angels as we continue our study of the book of Revelation. Their role, I think, becomes even clearer later on in the apocalypse and what exactly they do. And so that's the mystery. That's the mystery here in Revelation chapter 1. That's the symbolical meaning. This is a mystery. Christ says, the mystery of the seven stars, the mystery of the seven lampstands, the mystery of the sword coming out of his mouth, the mystery of the stars in his right hand, of his feet like burnished bronze. It's a mystery. This is a symbolical vision of Christ, and that's what this symbolical meaning is in Revelation chapter 1. Now, Christ commissions the Apostle John once again to write down what he sees. In verse 19, he says, write the things that you have seen, namely those that are and those that are to take place after this. The contents of the book of Revelation consist of what John saw, both the things that are present realities and the things that are to take place after this, future realities. The visions of the apocalypse concern present and future realities, as we're going to see. Now, one present reality, and this is one I want us to bear in mind, especially as we continue through chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, one present reality is what we have already seen this morning. And that is the present reality of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate supreme high priest of heaven, is present in the midst of his churches, tending the lampstands. And by doing so, he is keeping our lights burning so that we may continue in the darkness of this world to bear witness, martyria, to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may he make us faithful witnesses to him, now and forever. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is himself the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of kings on earth, who loves us and who freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. Father, we thank you that Christ is revealed to us here in this vision as the ultimate high priest of the heavenly temple, who tends the lampstands, who keeps their lights burning brightly, that they may bear witness to him in this world. Father, we pray that you would make us faithful witnesses to Jesus Christ in all of our activities and all of our behavior. Every day, Father, make us faithful witnesses to Jesus Christ as individual believers and also corporately as a church. Father, we pray that we would see Christ as John saw him revealed in his glory, as the one who has eyes like a flame of fire, hair white as snow, the one who has divine dignity and honor and wisdom, who has spiritual insight and knowledge and can discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and the one who is coming at the end of the age to judge the world with the sword that comes from his mouth. Father, may we revere him and stand in awe of him and worship him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. May we be faithful to him and serve him with all of our might. Father, we pray that as he himself stood the test and conquered the evil one and has now sat down at your right hand in the heavenly places, may we also patiently endure the tribulation and stand the test and conquer. Father, we pray that you would show us how Christ is our true King, our true priest, our true prophet, and how he reveals to us by his word and spirit your will for us. Father, we pray that our lives will be conformed to the Holy Scriptures. Make our will to do your will. Father, we submit ourselves to you. Father, we pray that you would show us what you have called us to do and give us the grace to be faithful in fulfilling that calling, that vocation. Father, we ask that you would enable us to pursue holiness, to turn away from sin, and to seek after righteousness. We pray, Father, that you would enable us by your grace to put to death our sinful deeds and desires. We pray, O God, that we would serve you with all of our might, love you with all of our heart, and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, we ask that you would bless those who are afflicted and give them endurance to patiently persevere through their trials. Be with those who are suffering in body. We pray, dear God, for Cecilia Marino's friend, Gail Beck, that you would grant peace to her and to her family. And if it is your will, we pray for her healing. We pray, God, that you would keep her close to yourself. Be with our brother, Danny Ollinger, and we pray for his health, his recovery. Lord, restore him, we pray, to his family. We pray, dear God, that you would be with Eileen Vanderly, with Dorothy and Scott Lowry. We pray for Homer and Kay Johnson, for our brother Paul Witt. We pray, dear God, for Tommy Johnson, for Jean Davies, for Sandra Sleaser, for Garrett Schinkel, the Garrabee family, Hal Griswold and Alan Story. Father, we pray for Jim and Pat Huggins, that you would provide for all their needs. Comfort them, we pray, dear God. Give them peace in their hearts and enable them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ more and more day by day. Lord, be with our missionaries at home and abroad who preach Christ through their preaching, convert sinners, and build up your church. Lord, be with Reverend Mark Richland as he teaches and preaches in Uruguay. Bless him and his family, protect them, and provide for them. Lord, we pray that you would be with those who have cancer. We pray for Arlene Rogers, for Ann Garrabee, Donald Sherman, Lisa Kraft, and Tom Carnes. Father, we pray for our nation and our civil rulers. Lord, we ask that you would give salvation to them, protect them, give them wisdom to run this nation in a manner that's pleasing to you. Father, grant peace and stability to our nation and to the nations of the world through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, let's turn together now in our hymnals to page 852, that we may profess our faith in the gospel of Christ by reciting in unison the Nicene Creed. It's page 852, and let's all stand together as we do. Christian, in whom do you believe? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our final hymn is hymn 277, Before the Throne of God Above, hymn 277. Let me encourage you to continue your worship as you leave through your giving. And now, friends of God, receive the Lord's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen.